I feel like people might be intimidated, like, oh, AI is so hard to use and like I can't do it. But if you want to build a custom GPT on ChatGPT, you can just have a conversation with it. It doesn't have to be like a big back-end programming, like whole project by itself. Like you can just talk to it. And I feel like if you just like play around with it and just start and just take like 5 or 10 minutes, then you'll feel a lot better about it.
Hey, time out. If you are flooded in the client work, you're trying to find ways to work faster and charge more, and you value efficiency and quality work, I have an experiment. Use Whisperflow for one day, the free version for one day only, and draft three things: a prompt in your favorite AI tool, a quick client reply, and a caption for your Instagram post. And do it just by talking. All you do is press the function button and dictate what you need done. You don't need to make typos, and you get it done really, really fast. This speeds up your workflow. You spend more time doing things you actually love. So go to the show notes, try it. It's only $12. And if you love more techie tools that make your work faster, that let you deliver quality work and work with better clients in the end, go check out my digital marketing assistant toolkit. It's only $7.99. Links in the show notes. It's filled with tools to help you with AI, business operations, video editing, audio editing, marketing, everything that you could need in your business and to do your client work. Go check it out. Back to the show. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found The Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all: strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. Hey, it's Emily Reagan. Welcome to part two of our podcast, where we are showcasing what other marketing specialists are doing with AI. And this episode is totally dedicated to how they're doing it in their own business to make their life easier, their operations, our marketing. All of that sucks up time. We just had a podcast talking about the 3 hourly rates you need to know as a freelancer. And a big part of that was, what are the hidden time killers? Where are you spending time? Where is your unbillable time adding up? And so AI agents, custom GPTs, very organized projects can solve a lot of this for you today. So I have 3 unicorns here sharing what they've done in their business. This is such a broader topic of conversation. It is so insightful to learn from other people who are doing the work. And I'm not talking about the guru culture here. I'm talking about the people in the businesses making the magic happen, actually doing the implementation work and the strategy. So if this type of conversation lights you up, if you need a room with fellow smart fractionals, marketing specialists, and creatives, then you need to get your butt inside our digital marketers work group. These kinds of conversations are happening inside our happy hours, our mixers, our masterminds, and inside our community too. So get your application in. We'd love to welcome you. This is a community of abundance, of encouraging each other. It's rising tides lifts all boats. We are not in competition. We are here because we understand the power of a network and a room full of people who know what you do and can refer you, because you get it. The byproduct is better clients, better work, better pay. All right, let's jump in. Welcome to part two of the podcast, talking with other unicorns inside our digital marketers work group. We're talking about how, and we're sharing how we're building AI agents, custom GPTs to do the marketing in our own business, because that's something we all struggle with when it comes to where do we dedicate our time and energy. We're always trying to feed the client pipeline. We're trying to do our own marketing. And we're also trying to be more efficient in the work that we deliver. This isn't necessarily like the client-facing deliverable. This is like for us, whether it's something people know we did or just like secretly, like a humble time to brag about what you've built on the flip side. And I don't know if I told you all, but the real reason I was planning this podcast is I have all these peers and they're like, you should really have your people learn AI. And I'm like, they effing are. They already are. Let me show you how special this group is, because we're all different. We're all unique. We have different services, and we have to get into businesses and think and apply these foundations to our work and for our own business. So this is an opportunity to brag and also demonstrate what's actually happening behind the scenes, because no one talks about it. We see like, you know, the seven-figure guru, and we see like the puppet people who don't even do the work anymore teaching AI or whatever they're doing, teaching you how to do Pinterest, or like there's like a couple zings in there. So yeah, so let's get started. Jen, I want to start with you. And I know this isn't just about custom GPTs, but tell us a little bit about you, what you do, who you serve, your job title, and then tell us what you built, because we want to know.
Sure. So I'm Jen Mullen from Massachusetts. Very cold right now. So I hope anybody that's in that area understands, because I'm freezing. But anyway, I founded the Mindful Virtual Assistant. So I started off as a VA, kind of doing all the things and whatever I possibly could do. And now I'm transitioning into year three, and I'm getting really focused on the systems and the operations and the back end stuff that you kind of need in place before you can really grow and scale. So yes, I don't really use chat all that often, but I do use Claude every single day. And they have custom projects, which I've built not only for myself, but for my clients too. And I use them for so many things, but for me specifically, prepping for discovery calls, pulling out content that I can use on social media for meetings, and making sure my replies are professional and well said, but still in my voice. So I'm excited to talk about Claude and all the things, because I love AI.
Yeah, I actually had this funny moment this morning on the way to the doctor, and I'm like, do I talk to Claude or do I talk to Chad? And I'm like, I haven't quite finished building out Claude completely, but I think I like Claude better. Yeah. But I think Chad has like all my like knowledge docs like a little bit better over there. And so I had that funny like AI dilemma in my head. Yeah. And everyone who's like in AI knows like the capabilities of like Claude versus ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And Claude can be easier for you to work in your own business with your own email domain and not have to share. So I would love to know how you built this project for your own business. What did you upload? What knowledge docs did you put in there? And I made a joke in the podcast yesterday that I feel like half of our life is now organizing transcripts and other content just to put into AI at this point.
Yeah.
But like once we do it, like we're free. Otherwise you're stuck where I am, where you're like, you don't know who to spend time with.
Yeah. I mean, I had that same moment that you're talking about where I was a paid ChatGPT user. I had everything in there. I'd built it. But I took a training that was just like random and on the fly. And they were like, just try it. Claude's better with writing. So I did. And I was like, oh, I kind of like this. So I started building my project. And the way Claude works is it's got the project and you can have multiple chats in the project. And all of those chats listen to the instructions and whatever you upload to the project, which I was like, okay, this is great. It just felt more organized for me. So what I did was give it my brand kit, my services guide. I also have a services menu that's kind of more like high level. Like these are the things I can do. And then I also gave it really, really, really specific instructions. And when I say that, it's like yay long. It's huge. It's super long. So I gave it, you know, things about my unique value proposition and why I'm different from other people, my personality, my voice, my focus, my pillars, the target market, keywords to say and what words not to say. And I know all of this is probably like, yeah, okay, all that makes sense. But I feel like I went a little heavy on the personality, meaning I'm a Disney adult who plays with Legos when I don't work. So include that feeling in some of the copy that I use. So like, I even told it my favorite TV shows, my favorite thing to eat. I feel like I went really deep. And because of that, everything that it spits out is like, yeah, that sounds like me. So I feel like because I put so much work on the front end, it helped me on the back end to be able to do things faster, to actually take what it says, not copy paste, because I'm so against that, but use it to market myself on social media and feel like the stories it's going to give me are true to me and authentic to me and who I am. So
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a lot of work. I'm not going to lie, but it was worth it. And even now I still put my Fathom recordings in there and just upload them from discovery calls. What could I have done better? What could I have said better? So I use those too. And just, I keep beefing it up as far as like the back end goes with the PDFs and the stuff that I can add to it. So
oh, that's amazing. By the way, is that Legos behind you on the shelf?
Yes. So right behind me on this shelf, there's Legos up here, which I just built the other day. Like this whole shelf is all Legos. And then over my screen, there's more Legos too. So I would love to have this whole room, but I don't have enough wall space.
I love this so much.
It would kill me. Yeah.
Well, and this is such an important conversation because I think one of the biggest mistakes I see from a new virtual assistant or marketers who struggle to differentiate themselves is that personality. Like you have to stand out. You have to be memorable. You have to dissuade the discerning buyer right now that they can trust you and all of that stuff. And just little details that like you're human and you would be a fun teammate to work with long term, like goes a long way. Showing your face, showing your Lego set, like, yes, all of it. Yes. And I love that that's in your copy because I see that in so much of the like interactions in the inbox. Like we need to have that always because that's your impression, right? Also, the thing I'm hitting on too is taking the time to get organized.
Yeah.
I mean, in your own business, it pays off, like it compounds, right? There's probably if you had to put a number on it, like how much time a week does this now save you with marketing yourself specifically?
Oh, God, I don't even know, but it's hours. It's seriously hours because I've got all of it built in there. And you speak about the organization piece, like I've got my Google Drive even set up so that way Claude can pull right from my Google Drive. So I don't even have to download it or upload anything. So I can just say, like, pull this file and it'll go find it for me. So it's got to be over 10 hours a week. It has to be. I mean, maybe I should calculate it and this week and actually get that number together. But yeah, it saves so much time by having it connected, organized. It's all built in. And even when things change, I update it. So that way it continues to grow with me. So
yeah. What files is it grabbing, like specifically?
So it can go into my Google Drive. Like I have just a random Google Doc with just here are the services that I have. Here are the things that are included. Here are the outcomes. And then here are the things that are add-on. Like sometimes I don't remember what I want to include in a package. And that's not always on the services menu. So like I'll try to pull from that as an example. So that way I can make sure I include the outcomes that somebody's going to get, not just the things that are going to happen for them. So just one example.
I've always seen you show up on social well and market yourself well. How has this helped like your mental energy? Like I know a lot of people struggle with, even me today, I was like, how do I talk about myself with this service? And I was asking a friend, like, what would you say about me? And it feels like, you know, ChatGPT is replacing my Brenna, you know, it's replacing my business bestie. But like, how did that help you with like the decision-making and those parts of it? Like, do you feel more confident putting content out there? Like, what kind of like emotional like return have you gotten?
Yeah. I mean, I probably have talked about it in the work group 100 times. Like, social media is not for me. Like, it's just, I've done it with a couple of people in the past and it's even not for me, but I know I need to do it for my business that we all do. And people have varying like thoughts, like post every day, post every other day. I just get a post out there every day. But I like it because the project that I built has all the services that I provide, knows my customers' pain points, knows who I am, knows my core values. Like one of my core values is fun and everyone's surprised by that. And I'm like, if I'm not having fun doing what I'm doing, that's not going to attract the right client. It's not going to be the right thing. So it saves me time by using all that knowledge and knowing what to like, here's an idea for social media. Or I can talk to Claude and do the voice and say, hey, I just had this thought pop into my head. I have no idea where I'm going with it, but I know I want to put it out on social media as some sort of post, whether it's a static post, a carousel or reel. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just here's the thought and literally brain dump. And it'll come back with 3 to 5 posts for me. And I can look at them and go, oh, that one's pretty cool. I like that. And then just then do it in my own style. So I love that it can just think for me when my brain is dead and I can't think anymore. And because we get to content fatigue and we don't know what to post anymore, and we don't want to post but the same things every single week. So like, it's so helpful when you just have nothing left to give.
We should be laughing, but we're like cry laughing. We're like, we do this to our clients.
There's
nothing left to give.
That's it. Like, I don't mean to make it sound so negative. That's not what it is. It's just, it's tiring. It's, you do this work all day for your clients and then you're supposed to also do it for yourself. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. You're dragging your feet.
What did you name your Claude project?
I just titled it my business name, not original at all. Okay. I really should come up with some sort of fun name. Like my old one in chat used to be Maggie. I would call her Maggie. So I might just rename it to Maggie, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay. So I just want to emphasize like getting a blog project up and organized with all of your business assets, like your inside information with your services, you know, founder story, probably your ideal client profile, business profile, all of that. But now you can go in there and use that specific project for anything because with a good prompt, you can do LinkedIn, you could do customer replies, you can do FAQs, proposals. So like that has really queued you up to do everything without having like a million custom like GBT. So that's...
Yeah. And I think my favorite part about it is that within the projects, the chats also talk to each other. So I can have a social media content chat, but then I can also have like a chat for job op for Suzy Q because I have a discovery call that I wanted to prepare for. And I can tell it to use that chat to then create things. So they all, I don't have to go back and forth as much. So it's like, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so helpful.
We're all referencing the same knowledge base. So cool.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Let's find out what Robin's up to as far as building AI for her business.
First of all, Jen, I got some good ideas from you, girl. So
good.
This was so good. I'm not a Claude user. I am a ChatGPT girly, and I built a custom GPT called the Brilliant Bot. She is a copywriting GPT, but she is good at a lot of things. And I trained her with this book. This is Traffic Secrets by Russell Brunson. So what I do is I'm a sales funnel builder and meta ads manager. And so what my clients typically look for me to do is bring them traffic and sales and create landing pages and thank you pages and emails and social media copy and sometimes even work products like, you know, ebooks and scripts and all kinds of things, but really all the things that would go along with a sales funnel, right? Because the funnel is really just an engine. It's just tech. It's just the tech piece of it. There's all these creative pieces that go into it. And then once you have it built, you have to drive traffic, right? Or, I mean, like, what are you funneling without traffic? So I built my custom GPT with some of the resources from this book. She's got some things in there from Alex Hormozi from 100 Million Money Models in there. And like just all the resources that I utilized before I started using ChatGPT. So I have this process that I go through when I go about creating something. And I do the same process over and over. But now I just train my GPT on my process. So now she does it like within 2 seconds, whereas it would have taken me an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I utilize the Brilliant Bot.
I love that you're using like a trick that we do with prompting is like telling it who they are and what resources to use. And I have a good prompt for, this is going to sound terrible, but basically swiping the knowledge of a book.
Yeah.
And I put it into Perplexity because it can search the internet. And I'm like, give me the frameworks. Yeah. I was totally like nerding out. Like, should I drop names? I don't know. I was hearing about the soul content on Instagram from, I think it's Ryan Needham. And I was like, well, what is it? Because, you know, they write it in such a way where you're like, I'm so curious. And then when you find out what it actually is, you're like, oh, we were supposed to do that all along. But that's so smart to take that specific to your service, too, and apply it. And like you're using the top dogs, like Alex Hormozi with all of his, you know, 100 million offer ideas, because that's part of like building a funnel with Russell Brunson, like,
yeah,
keying at funnels, fortunately, unfortunately, like he's good at it. So how do you use this like for you as the marketer? Like, obviously I see all like the clients, but what about you and your funnels?
I actually started using the Brilliant Bot for me.
Oh,
so I
okay.
start using it for clients because I was taking on clients before I started using ChatGPT, like way before, I don't know when ChatGPT came out. I'm old, like I'm 40. So
I got you.
So I was doing client work, like, you know, the old school way, thinking out of my brain. And my Clifton strengths is ideator. I'm an ideator. Mm. So I can come up with ideas like 70 million ideas within a minute, which can be a gift and a curse at times. So once ChatGPT came along, I was like, ooh, now I can come up with 70 million ideas like within seconds. And so I started using ChatGPT for me first before I started implementing things with my clients. And what I found was ChatGPT was helping me draw in more clients because I was able to brand myself and create way more assets for myself much more quickly. So I started to show up on social media more because I had way more ideas of what content I could post. And if I didn't feel like being on screen, I had it come up with ideas that I could do as like B-roll and voiceover. And so people started to see me on social media and then land on my website that I also wrote with the Brilliant Bot. And, you know, check me out. I look super legit and so smart. And they're like, can you make stuff for me? And I'm like, heck yeah. So that's how I started using my custom GPT, was really for me first and starting to brand me first. And I think it really helped me stand out more because I looked like I had my ish together. Like, way more than someone who had like no outward presence or outward branding. I was able to do it way, way faster. So that's how I started, was really with me. And then with my clients, I was already going through, like I said before, I already had a process and a bunch of questions that I would do on discovery calls. And I would ask my clients all the same questions on my discovery calls. And so I would just take the AI transcript of the discovery call, start a new chat with the Brilliant Bot, and take my prompt, really was just all of the details from the discovery call, drop it in there, and this is what she wants to do. Let's create, you know, a game plan for her. Let's create a sales page for her or emails for her. And that's how I started to utilize that for clients. And it really just made the work process much faster. And of course, like Jen said, we don't want to copy and paste exactly. Like, it's not going to hit the nail right on the head every single time. But editing is way faster than just coming up with something off the top of your head.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So when you were first talking about Russell Brunson, I was thinking like, oh, did Robin use this for funnels and client acquisition? Is there like anything specific that you did with that that like we need to know about?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, this book, Traffic Secrets, is like really, really good. I'm not paid to say this. I am a funnel hacker. But really, what it's about is like processes for kind of like getting eyes on, I mean, it's driving traffic. It's about driving traffic. Right. You can build the funnel, but you need to get traffic to it. And so one thing I would say from here is the 5-minute webinar framework in this book. You can probably just ask chat about it without a custom GPT because it's on the internet somewhere. But it is in this book. And the 5-minute webinar framework is something that I utilize to create webinar scripts for my clients. I love webinar funnels, and a lot of people say webinar funnels are dead, but I do like them on demand when there's something that is a little bit higher ticket that takes a little bit more of a personal touch. So I use this 5-minute perfect webinar script in order to have chat write me scripts for my clients' webinars and for mine too. So that's one thing I would say has been super, super helpful, because when you just have a script, you could just rattle it off and you don't even have to be on camera. I have my clients read the script into the voice memo on their phones. And then I set a slide deck presentation to the voice memo in Canva. So they don't even have to be on camera or show up.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, and you nailed it. Like, you need to know the framework and the person to reference. And then I'm just thinking, how many times are my clients like, I am done. Tell me what to say. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like writing VSLs and I'm writing mid-roll ads for podcasts. And it's like coming up with the script because they just can't do that anymore. That's so brilliant, Robin.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, our clients, just like we get burnt out, like our clients are burnt out. That's why they need help. And, you know, even sometimes just the process of like coming up with the things to say, of course, yeah, they could use a GPT, but are they wanting to be the marketing brain that's coming up and reviewing and editing and, you know, making changes and stuff like that? They don't want to think about it. So most of my clients are just like, tell me what to say. Another big thing is my ads. So I don't come up with ad copy off the top of my head anymore. And my ChatGPT ad copy has been consistently crushing it. The Brilliant Bot has been writing, I mean, spot on. When you say, here's the framework, one of the frameworks that I love to have my custom GPT do is the PAS. So the problem, agitation, solution. Another one is IDA. You guys know. So all the marketing girlies know, right? So like the IDA, I'd be like, write one with the IDA framework, write one with the PAS framework. Give me, you know, 5 different hooks. And my time from idea to live with ads is like, I don't know, 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
I mean, we launch the ads, they're done, they're up. All we're doing is checking data maybe once a week. And my clients go on retainer for just ads. So what this has done for me, it has really freed up a lot of my time. And I don't charge by the hour anymore because it's not taking me hours to do this.
Yes.
So I'm charging my based on outcomes. Now I have a lot more free time. So now, you know, I get to nap a lot more. That is the value, Ed. Naps.
I wasn't expecting that. That's awesome. I get to nap more. And wow. I love this shift, though, out of hourly, because you're not getting punished for being efficient, for being good, for understanding, like, what are the good frameworks for understanding conversion copywriting formulas. You just don't have to come up with the first draft anymore and spend hours, like, getting your brain to work at a time of day where you should be napping.
Yeah. I'm not doing billable, not billable. I'm not doing any of that. I'm not doing any of that. Like, I can clearly communicate, like, this is what I'm going to create for you. This is what we're going to launch. This is what's going to be live. And I have the Brilliant Bot to create things for me. And I don't have to second guess my own creativity because I've got the godfather of funnels directing my, I mean.
That was the best soundbite right there.
Dude, what are you going to do?
Directing it, yeah.
You can't out-market the millionaires. You really can't. So.
Yeah. And your clients need you to do it.
Yeah. They just, you know, they need implementation. That's what they really need. They need implementation. And now that I have systems that work super fast, I have more time to read and consume more content from the millionaire so that I continue to get smarter and I can continue to teach my GPT, because it's all about what you give it. Like Jen mentioned, you have to give it a deep, rich prompt. If you go surface level with the prompt, it's almost like you don't know what you don't know. You're going to get cookie cutter.
Yeah.
When you go deep with a book's worth of knowledge for it to incorporate into what it is that you're asking for, or a whole Google Doc worth of background information for it to incorporate. Your outputs are like, I mean, they're outstanding. They're like $1 million marketer in your computer, creating amazing work products, and all your clients are blown away, but all your stuff tends to get upgraded too. So it's really powerful. I understand why people don't talk about it, because we want to save all the credits.
Yeah, but we are.
We're going to spill the beans today.
I've also heard of people creating like different advisors for their businesses. Like, okay, well, I need a CFO just for this role, or I don't know. I'm trying to think of what that would be. It's like having an Alex Formosi like in your business. And so it seems very similar of what you've done here with the core learnings there. So, okay, thank you for sharing. I know for me, hooks on Instagram are always hard. And so I'm always telling it like, copy Shannon McKinstry. And I'm always screenshotting things. I'm always just uploading it because I'm lazy AF. It's also so like fast moving that it takes me like feeding it like things that I see working. And then I'm like, okay, you know, my content, like spit it out. So all yeah. It's going to be on my Instagram like this. Later. Or like taking something that's not in my industry. There's not a lot of people going viral like in my space. So I have to like take another industry and make it work, you know, and find my freelancer spin on it. That's actually what I'm good at. But ChatGPT can be, and Claude are like my sidekicks. So
it's like a virtual assistant as a virtual assistant. So it's just a whole extra brain that can just,
yeah.
I mean, it could supercharge your marketing and your ideas and how you do things. And I mean, if you want to go viral, you can talk to it about going viral. Like, you know, I'm in a super boring niche. Tell me some ways I could go viral. I mean, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
I've got nothing but like really great advice. And even though my custom GPT is a copywriting bot, I do ask for other things besides copy, and it's outstanding at that too. I mean, because it is still at its core, you know, AI, and it has read the whole internet, and we'll never in our lifetime have the time to do that. So,
no.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So good. So good. I'm going to try that prompt later and see what it comes up with me too. Candace, tell us what you've been working on.
I feel like I'm in a little bit of a different place than Jen and Robin, because right now I'm kind of in the transition from being like my own digital marketer person, and I'm moving into actually evolving into an agency right now. Part of where ChatGPT helps, I have someone that helps me, basically is like my executive assistant. Then I have somebody that helps me with social media. So, you know, that part is covered. I don't really have to get ChatGPT to help with that. But what it does help with is keeping everything consistent. So, for example, like in order for me to properly communicate with my social media assistant, I have to have everything about my business solid, right?
Yes.
So I have to, you know, collect all of the offers, collect all of the tone, all of my personality, all of that information, and put it somewhere. And, you know, so I find that the ChatGPT bot that I have, which I very cleverly just named after my own business, Clever Calico, helps me a lot with that, just to keep everything organized. And then that way, if I ever need to refer to it, or if, you know, my social media VA ever needs anything, I can just give her the bot and be like, this has everything, you know, if you have any questions or anything, or if you need like some refinement or whatever, it's there.
You're like the perfect client, because you're setting your team up to do the work, and you're being really smart about it. And I mean, I think that's all of our complaints with our clients, is like extracting this, getting them organized. So that's brilliant. I didn't think about it when it came to executing as an agency too, and having that continuity and that consistency in the work. Is there anything that you're thinking about building or have already built when it comes to that? And also, like, what kind of services are you delivering?
I tend to be more of the the assistants that's the more technical side of things. So like for my clients, I like to use ChatGPT for particularly for like SEO, especially because that can be very repetitive. Mm-hmm. And because you have to remember so many words and sometimes for programming help. So for me, that's kind of what I tend to lean into. Since we're evolving into more of the agency side of it, we're becoming more of like a full service type of thing. So like I can bring my technical expertise. You know, I have also like administrative stuff I can bring in. I have people that can help with social media. I have people that can help with basically whatever you need. So being able to like get that all organized while also doing my client stuff, it's been very helpful to have a robot to be able to help support that.
What was the first bot that you built for yourself?
Hey there, I want to take a quick moment to tell you about our Digital Marketers Workgroup. This isn't just another membership. It's a thriving community of marketing freelancers and service providers who are serious about up-leveling our businesses. Inside, we're sharing referrals, passing along job opportunities, and connecting with clients who value and trust our expertise. You'll find exclusive trainings, templates, and the support you need to confidently manage projects, position yourself as the go-to expert, and command the rates your work deserves. If you've been looking for a way to grow your business and land premium clients without doing it alone, this is the place for you. Head over to marketersworkgroup.com and join us today. We're accepting applications now. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Honestly, the first bot that I built for myself, I built for my friend because I was tired of arguing with her one day. So I created a bot specifically to argue with my friend. And she uses it this day to argue with everybody.
So you have like a stand-in person to like occupy your friend while you get your work done?
Yes. Yes, I do. When I first like learn something, I like to do something fun and like funny with it just to like play around with it and figure out how everything works. And then from there, I've built out all kinds of GPTs, like mostly like marketing ones and like Robin was saying, copywriting ones. I have one where you can feed it an image and it will produce like image alt text for a website. Wow. I have one for a client who sells adult products, and that industry has a lot of very rigid rules. So ChatGPT knows the rules, so you can put your copy into it and it will tell you if you're breaking any rules. Yeah, I have all kinds of things that I've made since then that are less trolly and hilarious, but are definitely helpful.
Yeah, we kind of touched that on the panel yesterday. We were talking about like knowing your client's industry well, especially if it's something like technical or medical. Somebody had a doctor client and they can't just like go in there and like pretend like they're like know what the heck that's about. So yeah. It's really funny. I didn't think about it in like the adult business space, but we're going to come across some crazy things. So It makes sense to fill the gap when you can with your client work like that too.
I actually have not that client in particular, but another one who's a really good example of that. She's in the wedding industry.
Okay.
And I do a lot of SEO work for her. And this is probably going to spoil the illusion for her when she hears this, but I'm not a romantic person. I'm the least romantic person in existence. So for me to come up with website copy, SEO, image alt tags, like headers that have that like level of romanticism and fantasy and elegance and all that, I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
So I use ChatGPT to fill in the gaps for me, because I'm like couple standing under a tree, but it can give you like bride and groom standing in a sunset while the leaves blow in the wind and make it very like romantic. Whereas I can't. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I can't do that naturally. I do use it to help fill the gaps. And again, because I'm the least romantic person in the world, having to research your client's audience and their industry. Like, I'm also not married, so I don't know very much about the wedding industry. I've never had to interact with that outside of, like, you know, friends getting married and being involved in that. But with ChatGPT's deep research, I can go in and I can be like, okay, you are from this place. These are typically what your clients look like. What might people be looking for? from you? What might their tone be? What might their interests be? What do they want to hear about? What are their problems? How can you, you know, fill in the gaps that other people are missing with how you solve their problem? And again, it's like, I don't have experience with that industry, but I can at least get a better idea of it with a summary and a lot of research that would normally take me like days. ChatGPT can come up with in like half an hour.
Yeah. And you could be dragging your feet on it because, you know, you and I both prefer cats than weddings and romance right now. Yes. Throw that in there. I'm curious, have any of you done that type of level of like deep, like client profiling with it, with your own avatars? And have you found anything interesting, but also any tips for going any deeper and getting an even better prompt from this? Because that's really what we're trying to do here too, is to get better at marketing ourselves, attracting the right fit client, the one who has a budget, the one whose business we can stand behind, who will value us. So what has come up in that process for you all?
I think my biggest takeaway from what I've done is ask ChatGPT what it wants to know. So if you're going to do deep research, just straight up ask it like, hey, I want to research, you know, being a VA in Canada, that's where I'm from. You know, what do you need to know from me to do your research so that I can get the best results from this?
Yeah, always a good prompting trick is like, what questions do you have for me? Jen, were you going to add anything to that?
Yeah, so I was just going to chime in kind of twofold, like one on the client piece. So I have an etiquette coach as one of my clients. I know etiquette is good manners, but it is way deeper than that. So from the client perspective, I used it initially to say, okay, go out and give me like the top five influencer style etiquette coaches so I could get an understanding of who to follow, who to get content. So that way, when we create content for her, we're kind of in the same vein. So to Candace's point, like that's huge, trying to use it to leverage some of what you don't know about other clients, but then learn it really quickly. So that's one thing. And then from the flip side, like for us, I love Candace's point about looking for a VA in your area. And so I've done it. I'm only 3 years in, but I have a ton of like corporate experience. So part of what I've done to have Claude help me is tell it that I spent 14 years in corporate, but I do not want any corporate language whatsoever in my marketing. And if it pulls it like back from a prompt, I'll argue with it. So in addition to what questions should you ask me, I'd be like, hold on, wait a minute. You just used that word and I've already told you not to use it. And then it argues back. So it actually feels like I'm talking to a real person. And then from that conversation, it learns and then doesn't do it again. So it's like, I think we not only need to ask it, what should you ask me, but argue back with it when it doesn't give you what you asked it for, if that makes
sense. You're training it. You're saying when you argue, but you're being nice, right? We need to be nice.
Hey, hang on. You just gave me a word that I told you not to. Can you try that again, please?
Okay. Have any of you like...
I do have the please and thank yous.
Have any of you actually cussed out your AI tool? No, just me? Okay.
Would never, because if this thing becomes sentient, listen, I want to stay on its good side.
Same.
That's a great point, Robin. I didn't think about that. Part of the reason I went to Claude is for the privacy thing. So I wonder if I could and I would be okay, but maybe I'm not even going to take that chance.
I'm just going to go back and delete that one conversation from chat where I got a little testy, and that's all. I was just a little frustrated that day. That's so funny. Robin, have you learned anything when like prompting to get like ideal client research or anything that somebody should know?
I do have a client that is in corporate leadership, and she does women in leadership trainings for colleges and corporations, right? I don't know. I mean, she has an MBA. Like, I definitely don't have an MBA. I definitely do not know the frameworks of leading women to, you know, corporate leadership and all of that good stuff. But what I do in order to create content and things for her is I ask my GPT to research corporate leadership frameworks, other people who are in that space. And then I also, when I'm looking for factual details like statistics or things like that, when I'm asking it to give me hard facts, I always ask it, cite your sources in what you give me. And so that way I can like protect myself against hallucinations, because that's one thing that I feel like people kind of forget, because we're having so much fun with Chat GPT and all the AIs really, that, you know, it's not 100% foolproof and it can make stuff up. And so when you're writing things from a factual standpoint, I always want to go back and double check it. I have had where it's given me something as facts, and then I say, oh, really? I didn't know that. Could you cite your sources? And then it had to come clean and tell me that it actually did not have a source for that, then it made it up. And I was like, oh, you almost got me caught up. And so you have to really double check yourself whenever you are using it for factual details in an area that you are not an expert in.
Yeah, I actually got caught up. I made a post even that referenced, and I was just trying to say, like, the amount of time that is saved by hiring marketing help and the average amount of time that a small business owner spends in their business. And I had this number and I remember feeling like solid about it. And then I went to make the post and it was out on Instagram. And then I was like, wait a second. And I'm like, Emily, like, you just skipped ahead. Like, it told you what you wanted to hear, which it does. But then I made the mistake of making that a post. I immediately took it down and fixed it and changed the language. And I was like, I could never, but like, learn from that mistake, like using bad made up studies, like fake statistics, just to prove a point to agree with me. And I'm like, well, no marketing. What's the right study for this? Because it can vary so much with the size of business. So that was dumb of me, but I think we can all learn that mistake by not posting that for ourselves, or definitely like for our clients there. I want to come up with a brainstorm idea before my girls get home from school without using ChatGPT. What the four of our brains, I think we can do it. But what are some systems or use cases that a fellow freelance marketer would need to use AI in their business, whether it's a custom GPT, whether it's a project? Could we pass the ball around hot potato style and come up with some areas? And I'm going to give you guys time to think, but I'll start. Like, a couple years ago, it was like the sales coach. And like, people paid thousands of dollars to get a sales coach to tell them how to sell. And then that's such a sticking point for all of us. You guys already mentioned it. You unicorns already mentioned it about putting the transcript into ChatGPT, having it trained on a sales coach and telling you, like, where could you do better? I actually did this summit training a couple of years ago, and I used an example from one of mine. And it was like, you're talking about yourself too much. Like, she didn't need to know you went to the gym today. it was a couple of things. But like, you know, obviously building a rapport, and, you know, I have emotional IQ too, but that was one of the things that stood out. I was like, oh yeah, like talk time. Like, I need the client to talk more and I need to listen more and things like that. Also, like, you know, Robin, you talked about like positioning outside of hourly, outcome focus. So I think that's one thing every freelance marketer should do, is have, whether it's a thread that really knows your stuff or a custom GPT or a cloud project for sales. Who wants to go next?
I have this friend that is like, her and I are just like super creatives. And we were talking about time management and putting everything that we need to do, things we need to get done, like in our personal and professional lives, into ChatGPT or another AI, and having it come up with a schedule. Like, how can I get this done? And then also like make time for me to have a nap, or like, you know, I need 30-minute meals for the whole week, and I need to have dinner done by this time. So can you make me recipes and do my shopping lists, like create the order that I need to place to like be delivered for the groceries or whatever? And then what time do I need to start cooking? And then what time do I need to start this? Because we have such hectic schedules sometimes that putting it all together and making it all work can sometimes, that's like where we get stuck because our capacity is just burnt. So time management is one of the things.
That's really smart. And I think about like project management on top of that, like planning out sprints for your own like quarterly goals or whatever, like all of that could kind of come together under one umbrella because their personal and their business life kind of mix up. So Candace, what about you?
I have a like a weirdly specific use case for ChatGPT, but like I think that's something that we don't think about as entrepreneurs because we prefer not to think about this. But like, what if something happens to you? And that happened to me, basically. I got really sick and I was off work for all of December. And wouldn't you know it, when I came back in January, I did not remember a single thing that I needed to remember for any of my clients for anything, but ChatGPT totally did. So it was like I could just pick up and keep going without having to follow up the clients and being like, hey, you know that, what was that thing that we were doing? Like, you know, you remember that thing you said about the thing? Like, so I feel like it allows me to like, not just with something like that, but when you have clients that are like all over the place and, you know, in different industries and stuff, it helps you with the like brain switching from different types of like clients and different projects. And it takes a lot off of your mental load. Yeah. So I think as like a wellness thing and just like saving you mental energy, I think it's a big thing.
Yeah. The context switching is real with what we do between our own business, like mom, like my kids are going to come home in a mom mode. I'm not going to be able to properly shut down. I also wrote down perimenopause. I was like, how many times am I like forgetting the thought and the words? And if it's organized in a place and I've named it correctly and can go back and find it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gold. That's brilliant. And also like, should anything happen, like that record of, that's really smart. Jen, what about you? What's your idea?
Yeah, so I actually tested this when I first started using Claude because I could integrate my Gmail, my Google Drive. I used Google's like task list for me, for myself, of things to do. So you could integrate all that. And I created an executive assistant. And so what it did was go out, look at my calendar, because I had my Google calendar, my business calendar, integrate with my iCal. So like, everything was everywhere. And I said, look at my calendar. Tell me how I'm using my time. And am I using it to the best of my ability? Because I'm one of those people that puts everything on my calendar. Like, if it doesn't go on your calendar, it's not happening. Like, that's just how I work. So I had it do that. And it came back with, and I don't remember the specifics, but it was like, well, you've got a couple of meet and greet type meetings on your calendar next week. Do those really need to happen? Like, it would ask me stuff like that.
Yeah.
So for somebody like Candace, like in your case, you have an admin who might go ahead and put stuff on your calendar. You can use this executive project to just run a report, tell you real quick at the start of Monday, like, how's your week going to go? Do you have pockets of time for yourself to take a nap, in Robin's case? Like, you got to be able to find those pockets of time. So instead of sitting here looking at your calendar, trying to figure it out, it'll do it for you and it'll tell you what to cancel, tell you what to move or reschedule. And I used that in the beginning. It was huge because I was like, okay, I'm trying to meet way too many people every single week and get myself out there. I don't have any time. It was a real eye opener. So that would be my suggestion, is to try and create some sort of executive assistant that can kind of look at all the things and just give you a snapshot of what it's going to look like and what you need to change. You have more balance. You have more you time in your life. And I think a lot of us don't do that enough. So that's why I'm like, this is the hill I'm going to die on, that I want people, I want business owners to remember, like, you need to take care of yourself too.
Piggybacking off of you, Jen.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've noticed is that I do not, and I'm into astrology. I know not a lot of
people. Oh, me too. Okay.
The astrology girlies get it. I always forget when Mercury's going to go retrograde.
Uh-huh.
So I use chat to plan out when is Mercury going to go retrograde, tell me the dates I need to block off in my calendar so that I'm not scheduling any launches for any clients or myself. I'm not doing any launch work. And then also, okay, I'm one of those people that I don't really care about data privacy. So I will put my cycle into ChatGPT so that I can plan around when I need to be taking time for me, like just personally, and I'm not doing, like, don't have any tasks on my calendar. Like, when do I need to be, all right, let me prepare to just take a rest during like one whole week of the month and do like maybe just very low energy things, not so much. So that just helps me to like be in alignment with the stars and my own body, because this work is very brain focused and really exhausting. And when you get mentally exhausted, you get physically exhausted as well. Like the mind and the body are connected. So, and I'm super into that. So yeah. Astrology and definitely like personal cycles, I use ChatGPT to help me with planning.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so fun. And I know we just had Sherry Moise on the podcast and she had the whole success planets. And so she gave me the report with my success planet. And I also had a report that someone else gave me and I uploaded it into chat. And all last year, I was like, what do I focus on today? You know, don't tell my pastor, but I was like, what do I focus on today? And it helped. And it helped me work through some things or like acknowledge, or it would have a question or a prompt. And I don't always take the time to reflect on me. And like what you're saying, Robin, is like the burnout is real. Like you're mm-hmm. spreading yourself thin for all these other people and like acknowledging your own capacity on top of it. Also so smart to control the launches. You're like, no, we're not even going to set ourselves up for that. Like,
no.
March is off the table. We're not doing it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. One other thing that I just like literally last week came across on TikTok is the Mayan astrological calendar. Did you hear about that, Jen? I saw Jen light up.
So, yeah, I'm like a history buff. So like I study that kind of stuff.
Is it like the 13th? There's like a 13th sign. Is it that or something else?
I think there is. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, the Gregorian calendar that we follow, like, deleted a whole month. And so I trust the Mayans more than anything. I had my GPT find my Mayan astrological sign, my Mayan zodiac sign. And then I had it refine my offers. Do that prompt. I'm not going to tell you what happens. Do the prompt and ask it to refine the offers in your business based on your Mayan zodiac sign. Mine's going to be blown.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm doing a couple about going viral of my Mayan zodiac sign. Yep. Yeah. I also have played around with like human design and where I'm at with the client work too. So, oh my gosh, I feel like we could unlock. I just said like an AI word. I'm laughing at myself.
Oh my gosh. You're turning into a PC.
Let's unlock our potential.
PC, like the kids say.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's so much more untapped. That's still AI. Oh my gosh. This might be the most fun podcast I've ever recorded. So thank you for being a part of it. And for anyone who listened to the end, thank you. Okay. I will put links to everyone to connect with you all with your services, because we're all about like, hey, who can help me do this? Who can help me with the funnel? Who can help me with the social? Who can help me with the apps? Is there anything you would like to end on? I just think about the people, and I wrote this down as my closing point. All of you said this, like developing something for yourself first. I think that's where we start. I think about when Instagram came out and I was doing the client work and I'm like, not another platform I have to learn. And where did I start? I did it for my personal account. I got familiar with it before I like offered it to a client. And so I just would like to end on something encouraging for people to do this for themselves, something easy to start with. Not that like our people are low level and haven't played with AI, but like what's some advice you would give to someone who's listening to this and who's like, all right, I need to take the time to do this for myself and my business?
I think my advice is to just try it, because like I feel like people might be intimidated, like, oh, AI is so hard to use and like I can't do it. But if you want to build a custom GPT on ChatGPT, you can just have a conversation with it. It doesn't have to be like a big back-end programming, like whole project by itself. Like, you can just talk to it. And I feel like if you just like play around with it and just start and just take like 5 or 10 minutes, then you'll feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. And like ask it, how can I do better? How can I use you? Where can we, can we do this?
Yeah. Ask it. I want to build a GPT that helps me with my business. Where should I start?
Yeah. Cause it can analyze your gaps and it can help you find the weaknesses based on the roles on your team.
Yep. Too.
So cool. All right. What else?
I'll echo what Candace said with the just start, because I think that's really the first step. There's so many tools out there, and it's not just Claude and chat. There's other things out there too. So just pick one. Just pick one and start with it. And then once you start to go, I like this tool over that one, then start to put the front end work into it. The real deep thought, if you're going to build one for you, about you. And just be honest. Like, don't not put something in there. I know that's a double negative, but I'm sorry, my brain is fried right now. but don't not put something in there because you think someone's going to judge you for it. Like the whole Disney adult thing. Like, I put it in there because that's who I am. So start and then just be real with it. Just own who you are and be okay with it and put it all in there. So that way it develops for you.
I love that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I learned how to create a custom GPT on YouTube. There's a free YouTube video. There's probably a ton of them. So if you've been listening to this and you're like, okay, well, how do I make it? There's free videos on YouTube. That's how I learned. And actually, one of my colleagues sent me the YouTube video link. And from there, I would just say, for those who are in this work of being a unicorn or a virtual assistant, I would say to make sure that you create something for yourself that is a passive, like, digital product. I think we skip that step a lot because we love being of service. And so being of service as a business model just feels natural to us. But time definitely is not a renewable resource. Like, you're going to get sick. You're going to have times when you can't show up. There's going to be slow and dry seasons where, like, it's crickets. There's no clients to be found because business just works that way. And you want to have some kind of way to have passive income so you create stability and you can continue to do the work that you love without worrying about your finances. So that would be one of the first things that I would say to do, is create a digital product that you can market. Even if you're a virtual assistant, you can do both.
You know what? One thing I just thought of was Gemini and the image creator, like if you have Google Workspace.
Oh, yeah.
So I still have 2 social clients and they don't give me any content at all. So I have to like pull at straws and try to figure out stuff. Mm. So I use that in such a way that I'm like, give me a realistic photograph. Like, I took it with my camera because it always puts out like the memes and the cartoony crap. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. Like,
yeah,
I'm not a fan of using those. Like, would rather have actual images. But
if your client doesn't give you anything, it's a great way to get the landing page done. And then they
exactly
figure it out themselves later.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good photo, like high resolution photo quality Gemini images. And I have not like dug into Gemini, but I do want to learn how to. Yeah. I want to learn.
Especially because
I compared it between like, so I write a blog every week and then I repurpose it into like what I call the Motivation Monday newsletter. Just like, here's your kick in the pants to get you going for the week, like that kind of thing. I compared Claude taking the blog and repurposing it into an email and Gemini repurposing it into an email. And granted, I hadn't been using Gemini. Claude was way better.
Yeah.
100 times better.
It was like a better copywriter.
Way better. So, but to your point, Robin, like, I wonder if like we continue to use it, it gets better. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm of the mindset that like, I am going to let the tools be in their lanes. I think Gemini.
Yeah.
Keep hearing Gemini for images.
Yes.
Like played with that. The ChatGPT images.
Yeah. The caricatures are driving me insane lately. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I had my social media client just send me one and said, I want to use this. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, okay, but yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell when I do one in the work group from ChatGPT? Can you tell?
Not always.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
We're about to do a whole new rebrand. So I'm hoping maybe like we could like automate some of the like simple posts. But like I always go for as stark and simple as possible. Just that way you can't tell.
You know what? I honestly don't even, I don't mind when I can tell that it's ChatGPT. It's
really
more so about what I know about the publisher, because like ChatGPT is all based on the prompt. So if I know the kind of content you put out as a publisher, whatever ChatGPT output that you said, you know what, this is good, I'm going to publish that. Like, I want to read it.
Yeah.
So
that's a good mindset.
Anytime I see anything with those check marks in the copy where it's like things that have either the green ones or the gray ones, I know ChatGPT wrote it.
Yeah.
Right? Because no
or
one
that needs little buddy space in the bullets.
Yeah.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
Before the bullets, yeah.
Or the space before that M dash, like not connected to the word all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I see it and I see it all over the place, but I know that you read it and you thought that it was good. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to read it too. So I don't care. I don't care.
That's a great mindset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shame there.
Definitely. I feel like there's a lot of M dash hate as well.
Oh my God.
But like, if you have a client who like their writing and their audience is like very professional people, chances are they recognize that what an M dash is and what it's needed for.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a lot of M dash hate.
I know. I used to use it a lot. And sometimes I go back and I just delete them or put the commas or I do like a double hyphen. So it looks
dot,
like
dot, dot.
Wrote it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to use, but don't use it excessively. I think that's the thing for me, because like I'll have clients that do send me copy and the M dash is literally in every other sentence. And I'm like, hold on, we need to like just change this up just a little bit because it's just too much.
Yeah.
And I think people will, because like it's a sign of AI supposedly, even though the M dash was there long before AI. Like we just need to balance it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, it's like the hook and it's the material that's not personal or not story based. I don't want to read that, you know? So it's pretty clear to me with the hook. But I'm such a skimmer right now. So just says life. So okay. Thank you, ladies. This was fun. All right, we're going to end the podcast like that. Hit subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And again, if you are doing this type of work, please join our digital marketers work group. We want you. If you're showing up solidly for your clients, if you know how to do AI, if you are missing a community of other marketers who are also doing the work, get your applications in and I'll see you on the inside. If this was helpful, please DM us on Instagram. Find all of our names in the show notes. Let us know what was helpful. Share your ideas. This is what the work group is all about and we'd love to have you. All right, I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
To be super awkward and go let my girls in, will you guys keep talking and coming up with a couple ideas when it comes to like your business? I'll be right back.
I've already got them. Yeah.
If you hear any weird noises, it's because my cat has discovered something on my desk right at the time when I'm supposed to be talking. So please ignore that.
It's okay. Jen's building Lego right while we're doing this. So just
ignore,
ignore that clicking too.
Okay.
and Robin's over there snoozing. And I guess I'll awkwardly end this podcast and say adieu. No, just kidding.